Sorry about that. You know, it was actually about 6 years ago, right around this time, Pastor Dennis here took me out to lunch, and we were talking. I had just been born again, only about a month or so, maybe a month and a half, close to 2 months. And as we were talking, he said, "James Michaels, God calling you to preach." And I laughed. I laughed out loud, and I was like, "No, not at all." He said, "Absolutely, you're a preacher." 6 years later, I can't believe all you've done for me. I thank you for everything you've done. Tonight, before we dig in, if you have your Bibles, we'll go ahead and open up to 1 Corinthians there. We'll be in the first chapter. We're going to get there in a second, but I'm actually going to go ahead and kind of lay out for you what this sermon's going to look like before we really dive into the Word. And really, I want to boil it down to I have two points I want to make tonight. That's it. I like things simple. It's easy to understand. It's not difficult. 2 points, but really they go hand in hand. It's kind of like a quarter. There's a heads and there's a tails, but really it's one coin. These 2 points really go hand in hand, and that's this right here. I'm going to tell you right now. One is we need to take our eyes off of ourselves, and number two, we need to put our eyes on Jesus. Amen. And what we're going to do tonight is this. We're going to look at this text. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes and kind of give you the background of what's going on in this passage, why Paul's writing this, just so you understand what he's about to say. And we're going to talk about what it meant for them. And then all of a sudden we're going to take a turn. And I'm going to talk about what it means for us tonight. And really there's 2 groups of people that I'm going to be talking to tonight. There's 1 group of you in here that you know. You say, "James Michael, if tonight were my night, I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. I know I've been born again, man. The power of the Holy Spirit has breathed life into my dead soul, man. I have experienced the new birth. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I know exactly where I'm spending eternity." And some of you in this place tonight, you don't really know what I'm talking about when I say that. You don't really know what that means, or you've never really experienced that in your life. And so when we come to this place, we're going to apply this. How does this apply to those of you who know where you're going to spend eternity, and how this is going to apply to those who you're not so sure tonight? So that's the way this is going to go here. We're going to, just a quick background, what's going on right here in Corinth is these people have gotten really like prideful, man. They think they are just the top notch. They think they're the cream of the crop. They're the best of the best. They're bragging about how smart they are. They sort of all have their favorite preachers. Some people over in one side of the church are like, "Man, I love that dude Paul. He's so great. We're sticking with Paul." And these guys over on the other side are going, "Nah, man, we like that guy named Apollos. He's really smart in the way he talks so well. We really like listening to him." And these other groups are like, "No, we like Peter, man. He's our rugged man, our rough man. We really like him. He's the, you know, strong leader type." And you really see division coming into the church. It sounds like a lot of churches in America today where everybody likes their favorite preacher, and if you don't listen to so-and-so, you're not as good as we are. You know, that's really kind of the attitude that's going on in the church of Corinth. And so they're really puffed up and prideful, and wisdom is a big deal for them, man. And so they're all divided up, bragging about how great they are, and they're the best, and I'm listening to the best preacher, and we know the most. And then Paul, suddenly, right here, we're going to be at the end of chapter 1, has a couple of things to say to them here. That last paragraph right there, starting in verse chapter 26. And this is really interesting what Paul does, because he's sort of deflating their pride, but encouraging them at the same time. You're going to see how he does this right here. He kind of wants to humble them a little bit, but then redirect their focus. Here's what he says. We're going to read it together. "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards." What he's saying here is, listen, guys, you're not as smart as you really think you are. Guys, some of you, you're really not the brightest bulb in the room here. You're not the sharpest tool in the shed. Some of these people are the guys who were screaming, "D's get degrees," if you know what I'm saying there. That's the kind of group he's going, remember, you guys weren't the smart ones here. He says, "Not many of you were powerful. Not many of you are strong. Strength is a big deal." This is where the Olympic Games are in, and strength is a big deal. Or it might mean influence. They had a lot of power, influence in the culture. Maybe they had, you know, kind of like today, maybe somebody who's a manager or a politician. You know, these guys, you're saying, y'all weren't those people when Jesus saved you. You weren't these strong, smart people when Jesus saved you, and now you think you're this. He goes, not many of you were of noble birth. He's saying you weren't born in the palace up top. You weren't born in the king's throne. Your daddy is not the king. Your uncle is not a duke. And they didn't actually have dukes back then. I just wanted to say that because I have an uncle duke over there in the corner. I just wanted to say that. But so what he's saying here is, but God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Listen, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Here's what he's saying is, guys, you think you're so prideful here, you're so stuck up, you think you've got it all figured out, because you think you're the smartest in the group, or you think you're the strongest in the group, or you think you're the richest, or you're in the best socioeconomic stratosphere, so you think you're better than everyone else. He's saying, guys, listen here. God chooses the humble, the meek, the lowly. It's not because of your intelligence. It's not because you're so strong. It's not because there's anything great in you. In fact, it's the exact opposite here. God looks for the weakness in us. He looks for the weak things of this world to put to shame those that boast in themselves. Why? So God gets the glory. God gets the glory in this story. And listen, these two points right here, take our eyes off of ourselves and put them on Jesus. This is really what Paul is saying in this passage. Quit looking at yourself like you're great. You're not great. God is the one who is great. And listen, these two points apply to everyone in this room, everyone in the world. This is what God is saying to all humankind in the world today, is stop looking at yourself for your own answer. Stop looking at yourself like you're the one that's going to figure everything out. I'm the one with the answers. I'm the one that can help. I'm the one that is able. I'm the one that is strong. Look to me for all your answers. This is, Paul is saying very plainly in this passage, which is really the whole story of the Bible. I can open this Bible to any page and show you really what God is trying to communicate to the people of earth is, look to me. It all started in the garden. When Adam and Eve, when they had their eyes on God, but they said, no, I want to be like God. They said, I want to make myself like God. They took their eyes off of God and placed it on themselves, trying to puff themselves up. And ever since that time, we have all had the same exact struggle. When we're born in this world, we're born looking to ourselves for our own answers. And what God has always been saying since then, all the way up until tonight, and he's still saying it tonight to some of you in this very room, he's saying, take your eyes off yourself and look to me. Listen, Abraham, and God promised him that he would be the father of many nations. Abraham was too old. Sarah was way past the age of bearing children. They were not able. And what God was saying is, that which you are not able to do, you're too weak, you're too old to do it. Listen, I am able. And God gave life. He looked to Moses at the burning bush there, this man who once was born in Egypt's palace. He was there with Pharaoh. He spoke Egyptian. He was lived in that palace, was very rich and strong and this mighty leader. And that's the person you think God's going to use to deliver the Israelites. But that's not the time when God chose Moses. In fact, Moses had to fall pretty daggum far on the backside of a mountain for 40 years, taking care of sheep, and to the point where he was a broken and weak man. He wasn't full of courage anymore. He was a shattered and broken man. His hopes and dreams had been crushed, and it was in this place of weakness and humility that God said, now I can use you, Moses. And he said, I can't even speak right. He said, don't worry, I'm the one who made your mouth. I can take care of this. What he was saying to Moses, Moses kept going, I'm not. And God kept saying, I am. Amen. Is the way he dealt with this here. That's how he's always dealt with this. We go to look at David. a little boy who had barely hit puberty out in the back of the house taking care of the sheep, not even there with his family. When a giant who had been trained in the art of war, who had a spear that was taller than David and weighed way more than him, probably 120 soaking wet, about to go fight a giant who had been trained in art war, who had slain men. This dude is slinging slingshots. And what David said was this, and everybody's going, David, you're crazy. What in the world are you doing? He's going, guys, no, no, no. My eyes are right here. My eyes are on God. I know my God is able. And we see this time and time again when Israel's up against the sea. What did God do? He split the sea when they had no way to go. When they were hungry in the desert, He made bread rain down from heaven. He made quail to come and dwell around their tents, man. When they were thirsty, He made water come from a rock. When the walls were too high and too big, He brought them down low. Listen, this whole story is about one person, and that's God, man. It's all about Him. He is the one who is able. So here's why am I talking about this? I'm not talking about this passage tonight telling you that you're prideful. That's not what I'm saying to you tonight. I'm not saying you're prideful and stuck up. What I'm actually saying is what we see, what I kind of see today in the churches I've traveled around is honestly quite the opposite. It's you think that because you're not talented, or I don't have some sort of special ability. I can't sing like Skeeter. I can't sing like Skeeter either. I had to make sure this thing was off. You didn't want to hear me sing. Or I can't play the keyboard like that, which that was incredible. I mean, I think I know like a G chord and that's about it. But so we have sort of this idea that I'm too old for God to use me. Man, I really don't know how to talk right. I really, James Michael, I don't really know as much about the Bible as somebody like Scott Camp. Neither do I. You say, maybe I've gone through too much in life. Maybe what I'm saying to you is this. I believe there are people in this room tonight who you are a born-again Christian. God has saved your soul. You know Him. You have this relationship with Jesus Christ. And what He's been trying, or what He is saying to you, is He wants to use you for His glory. But the problem is we keep looking to ourselves and looking at our own inadequacies, looking at our own weaknesses. Listen, I told you right now, when he asked me, he were 6 years ago, when he said, James Michael, I believe God's calling you to preach, I laughed because of two things, really. My two, what I would call my biggest weaknesses, man, is I travel around as an evangelist, and listen to me, I'm like the most introverted person you've ever met in your life. I could lock myself in my bedroom for a week and never speak to a person, and I'd be happy. And God's saying, no, no, you're going to go out and tell everybody about me. Listen, I cannot do that. That is no, man, that's like frightening to me. Listen, the second one is this communication. I'm not some elegant speaker like some of the other people you might have heard before. I've heard Pastor Dennis preach. I've heard Ray tell stories. I've heard Scott speak. I'm not these people. Listen to me. This is what it is. God, I need you to do something. God, you have got to do this. And this is exactly what Paul says in the next place when he's going to me. He's going, guys, remember when I came to you, I didn't come in these wise words. I didn't come in some fluent speech like I was some smart genius who, in those days in the city, they had these people called sophists who would come to the middle of the city and they would get up and they would speak with this like flowery, like ornate speech, and everybody would be like, ooh, and they would come and listen to these great speakers. They were kind of like the TED talkers of their day, if you know what that is. They were these professional speech makers. And Paul's like, no, that wasn't me, man. That wasn't me. When I came to you, listen, it was in the power of God came. So that you would know it was in the message of the gospel that you were saved, that God called you, that He saved you, that He became your righteousness, that He began to sanctify you and redeem you. It was Jesus becomes that. Because see, this is the problem. God is wanting to use you, but we're looking at ourselves. When Moses met God, it's when the I am not meets the I am. That's exactly what it is. And what God's solution all through the Bible has always been is quit looking at your weaknesses and look at me, because my strength is going to be displayed in your weaknesses. The very thing that you think is going to stop you from being used is the very thing I am going to use to display my power. That's exactly what God is saying. You see, you think you're weak, so when Paul is telling these guys, you weren't the sharpest tool in the shed, quit bragging about being so smart. He's saying, no, in fact, the fact that you don't know that God will use this weakness for His glory, the fact that you're not so strong, that you're not this big macho man or whatever, he's saying God's going to use that. Man, those things that people would never pick you to do that, God's going to pick you to do it, because He's going to demonstrate that He is able when we're not. And so, to those of you in this room tonight, who that's where you are, you know God's calling, you know Jesus, you have that relationship, but you believe you've gone too far. Maybe you believe you've missed your opportunity. Maybe you believe you could never do it. Whatever mountain stands in front of you that you think is too big for you to climb, whatever obstacle you think is too hard to conquer, man, God is saying to you tonight, He is able. He's saying, quit looking at your own weaknesses and look to me, because I will demonstrate it through you. Now, to the second group of you here tonight, the ones who you're not entirely sure where you would spend eternity tonight, you have a different struggle. Your eyes are on yourself in a different way, and this is what that looks like. You are struggling to save your own soul. In fact, Jesus speaks of this often in the Gospels. He says, those who try to save themselves will lose their life. Listen to me. Here's the whole Bible builds to this point of God ultimately showing, doing the most incredible thing, saying what you are not able to do, I did, and it's already happened. He said, you are not able to save your own soul. Ultimately, that's what this all has been building up to. It's all been building up to this point where God's saying, you're trying to save yourself. They did. They tried really hard to save their own souls. They got that law. They said, I'm going to do the best I can to obey those Ten Commandments. And guess what? They failed. They built this tabernacle and said, we're going to build this place and God's there and we're going to come worship. And they end up building golden calves and worshiping those things. They tried really hard to save their own souls in their own strength, in their own power, looking to themselves, saying, I'm going to do everything right to save myself. And all the way through the Bible, they messed up, they failed, they kept falling down. Because here's the thing, we cannot save ourselves. And this is exactly what my life looked like. Most of us growing up here in the Bible Belt, we know a lot about the Bible. We know that list of do's and don'ts, and we try really hard to obey. That's what my life looked like. And maybe if you're here tonight and you've grown up in church, you know all this stuff that I'm talking about, but you've never experienced the new birth. Maybe the problem is you've been trying really hard to save yourself. You're going, I know I shouldn't do that, and I know this is what I'm supposed to do. And so you keep trying and trying and trying to live a better life. You keep struggling. You keep trying to focus on your own willpower, your own strength to save yourself. Maybe if I attend church enough, maybe if I crack that Bible open just enough times, maybe if I say enough prayers this night, maybe then I'll be okay. When God is saying, you couldn't do it, but listen, I could save you. You can't save yourself, but I have the power to save you. And this is exactly what God did, because He loves you so much, man. All of this is because God loves you. Listen, God didn't need to use any of us for His glory, but because God loves you, He says, I want you to enjoy this with me. I want us to come together in this loving relationship, and where you're weak, I'm going to show up and take care of you. Where you think you don't have provision, I'm going to provide. I'm going to take care of you like a husband and wife coming in. We're going to walk this thing together, and you're going to partake in this glory with me. It's my glory, but we're going to co-labor together so you can enjoy this wonderful experience with me. That's what He's invited us to here. But as we're lost, we cannot save ourselves. This is what He did, because He loved us so much, because He's inviting us to it, because we couldn't do it ourselves. This is what He did. He came down in the person of Jesus. God stepped down out of heaven, wrapped himself in flesh, and that which we were not able to do, he did. He was tempted and tried every way the same way that we are tempted and tried. He stood. The only difference is he succeeded where we were unable. Because he had the power to overcome. Where we failed in our temptation, Jesus succeeded in his temptation. He was tempted just like we are. He hungered just like we do. He was thirsty just like we've thirsted. He was tempted with all these things, and he overcame every single one of them to demonstrate that God is able. And he took it all the way to the cross. The one who didn't have to do any of this. We didn't deserve any of it. We didn't earn any of it. But because his love was so great, because his grace is so rich, he came down, humbled himself into the form of man, went and endured that cross. He took those stripes upon his back. He took that crown of thorns upon his brow. He let his flesh get ripped from bone, nailed to a cross, all to do this, that which we could not do. He said, you cannot save your soul. You cannot conquer death. Listen right here. I'm going to go ahead and take death upon me. I'm going to take your sin upon my body. There on the cross, covered in blood and spit and sweat and every bad sin, every bad thing I've ever done, Jesus was doing that which I am not able to do. Jesus was beginning to reconcile me to himself on that cross. And it didn't stop there. It was 3 days later when Jesus said, you're not able to overcome death. Guess what? I just did. And the stone rolled away and he rose from the dead. He defeated death. He defeated the grave. He defeated sin. Said, you couldn't defeat sin. I did. So you can now in partake of that. You can now come into that victory over sin in your life. You're afraid of death. Don't worry. You don't have to be afraid of death anymore because I rule. I reign. I've already put it under my feet. I have authority. I conquered it and beat it because I am able when you're not. So trust in me. Trust in me. That's why some of us, I understand where we live, and some of us are in this room tonight. You've really been struggling to save yourself. Man, you're looking for peace in anything in this world. You're trying to find peace in this world. You're trying to find something to soothe the brokenness, the pain that's in your heart, man. And that's why we turn to things like alcohol. So when we turn to things like drugs, some of us are looking for something to satisfy us in relationships. We're looking for all these things. We're trying really hard to be God of your own life. You're trying really hard to be in control of your own life. Like maybe I can figure out what it is that I need that I'll be happy. Maybe I'm going to be smart enough to endure. I'm smart enough to figure out what I need and what's going to satisfy me. Or maybe you think you're strong enough, you're tough enough, you're man enough, you're woman enough, you're cowboy enough to endure whatever it is that you need to endure. And if I can just, I'm strong enough, I'm going to make it, I'm going to survive. And what God's saying is, quit looking at yourself to solve your problems. Quit looking to the things of the world to try to solve your problems. There's only one person who's ever going to take away that pain, who's ever going to give you peace, who's ever going to give you a lasting joy that resides in your soul, that's not something external around you, but something that's so internal, deep within your soul, that nothing that happens around you can ever rob you of that joy. And that's Jesus, man. That's Jesus, the one who is able, the one who overcome, the one who is able to take away your sin because of his shed blood. Because there's nothing we could do to get rid of our sin, of ourselves. I can't be good enough to get rid of my sin. I can't pay for my sin. There's not enough good deeds I can do in this world. There's not enough people I can preach to pay for my sins. There's not enough church services I could attend to pay for my sin. There's not enough Bible verses or prayers. There's none of that stuff that I could do to pay the price for my sin. But Jesus shed his blood because what I could not pay, he was able to pay for me. He was able to pay for me. And that's what I'm asking some of you tonight. Some of you, you've been struggling. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You know that lack of peace that's in your heart. You know that lack of joy that's in your heart. I talk about joy a lot. I remember it for me, it looked like this. Down here in the South, in the Bible Belt, there's a very creepy temptation of what I like to call moralism mixed in with some religiosity. And that's exactly what I heard in my life was, don't do these things, do these things, be a good little boy, go to church, and that's going to make you okay with God. And that's exactly what I tried to do. I tried to be a good little boy. I tried to go to church. But listen, there was something missing in my life. I never really understood the gospel. I never really knew Jesus. And this is what happened on Easter Sunday, 2011. Like a good little boy in the South, I went to church on Easter with my family. And I'll never forget that morning walking into the doors of that church, and there was this smile on this man's face as he hugged me and he said, Jesus is alive. And I walked into the next doors there, and another man hugged me and was smiling ear to ear, and he was like, man, Jesus is alive. And suddenly, let me tell you, there's one thing young people are really good at, and that's telling when adults are being fake. I'm just going to tell you right now, young people are really good at telling one another. There was nothing fake about any of these people. There was this genuine joy and peace that was in these people. And as I began to watch them worship God and talk about Jesus paying the price, dying for us and raising from the dead, how he's alive right now, I was realizing there's something these people have that I don't have. And maybe that's some of you in this place tonight. You've been looking at your own life so long that you've never really put your eyes on Jesus. You know who he is. You know the story. You know what he's done. But you've never really come to a place in your life where you've humbled yourself, gotten rid of your pride, laid down, put your knee down at the cross and said, Jesus, you be my God. You be my Lord. You be my Savior. You cleanse me. I can't do this myself. I need you. That's a humbling thing. It takes throwing away that pride. But let me tell you something about pride. Pride's like an anchor thrown over the side of a boat. It's going straight to the bottom, and if you don't let go of it, it's going to drag you down with it. That's what pride will do. So listen, if that's you, if you're the person who's going, James Michael, I don't have that joy in my life. I don't have that peace in my life. I know I'm doing things I shouldn't be doing, and I try really hard to overcome it. I've tried to quit drinking. I've tried to quit whatever, fill in the blank. You know what it is. If you're trying and you've never found victory, listen, it's because you're relying on yourself instead of the one who is able, and that's Jesus. The one who overcame all these things for us. The one whose power is demonstrated that saves us, that redeems us. His righteousness becomes ours. His sanctification, it means this, come as you are, but I'm not going to leave you that way. I'm going to begin to make you like me. And then he says he's the one who redeems all this. He redeems all this. This is the ultimate battle that we have to face every day as fallen people, is waking up in the morning and taking our eyes off of ourselves and putting them on Jesus. This is the exact answer God always gave to every one of the heroes of the Bible, to every instance in this Bible. What God is always saying is, you're unable and I am able. We say, God, I am not. And he says, I am. I can do this. And that's what I'm asking you to do tonight. With every head bowed in here and every eye closed, listen, this is going to be a short thing. I know this was a little bit quicker, but I believe this is exactly what God has been saying to some of you tonight. And I believe there are people in here who are lost. You don't know Jesus. You've never come to that place of surrender, and you've been drowning in your own sorrow. You've been drowning trying to fight and struggle to find life and something in this world. And this is what God is saying to you tonight, man. Look to me. Look at Jesus on that cross paying it for you. Quit trying to rely on yourself. You're not strong enough. You're not smart enough. You're not rich enough. It's Jesus, man. It's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. That's the answer you've been looking for all your life, and he's calling to you tonight. Man, the Holy Spirit is already tugging on some of your hearts. From the moment we started, man, God was already moving on some of your hearts, drawing you to him tonight. And this is what I'm asking you to do. Because I know we have two groups here tonight. If you've never really given your life to Jesus, we're going to pray in just a second. But if you've never given your life to Jesus, you're saying, James Michael, I know I'm lost. I know I need him, man. He's pulling on my heart tonight. What do I do? How do I rely on him? It's really simple, man. All that stuff that you can't do, you admit it to Him and go, God, I know I've messed up. I know I've sinned. I know I've done all this. God, I've tried to quit. I've tried to stop and I'm just not able. Jesus, I need Your help. I need You to save me, man. Call out to Him. It's repentance and faith, and it's really simple, man. We turn our back on those things and we run to Jesus. And man, listen, He comes and helps us with it. He shows up when we call out to Him. He comes down and rescues us like we're drowning in a river, and He comes by in a boat and just pulls us out of the water. He rescues us. And so if that's you tonight, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward, nothing like that. But I'm asking, if you're saying, James Michael, I'm lost, man, and I need Jesus. I've been struggling. I've been trying in my own strength. I need You. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand right now. Just slip it up and slip it down, man. We're going to pray for you tonight. And I believe God's going to do something miraculous in your heart tonight. Just right now, wherever you are, if you're saying, I need Jesus, man, slip your hand up and set it back down real quick. Amen. 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 Listen to me, man. The Holy Spirit's tugging on some of you right now. I don't want you to miss this chance for a brand new life. It's so beautiful and so wonderful to be small in the hands of a loving God who is able to set down yourself and say, God, You can. It's a beautiful and wonderful thing to be in the hands of God. Now, to everybody else here tonight, we're going to pray for those in just a moment. But for everybody else here tonight, we're going to pray for you, because I know there's people in this room who God is calling you and wanting to use you. And listen, I want you to believe God is able. I want you to listen to His voice. There's some people in here tonight I believe God's speaking to, or He's been speaking to you about something He's wanting you to do. And tonight you're saying, God, I'm all in. God, I know I've been afraid. I've been scared to take that first step. But God, I know You're able. And tonight I want to put my trust in You to do that which You're calling me to do. Let's pray together. Father God, for those in here who lifted their hands who don't know You, God, I pray in Your power, God, not in any fancy things that we do with ourselves, God, but by Your Spirit, by Your might, by the shed blood of Jesus on the cross, God, for what You have done for us, God, I ask that as they acknowledge within themselves that they're unable to save themselves, God, I ask You, save them tonight, Lord Jesus. I pray that they would experience the new birth right now as they're calling out to You, Jesus. They're saying, save me tonight. God, I pray they would experience this new birth, God, that joy that is everlasting, that peace that passes all understanding, God. Let them experience the grace of Your Son, Father. And for every person in here tonight that You're calling, God, to step out in faith, God, I pray You would embolden them tonight. God, I pray You would, they would have this word from You, God, that they would know this is exactly what God is calling me to do. And God, I pray You would give them the faith to take that first step, God, that as we step out in obedience, God, You would show up in might and in power and in provision, God, and that You would make it clear for them what it is You want them to do, God, that they would know exactly the next step to take, God, and how You want to use them for Your glory, God. And for every person in here who thinks God doesn't want to use me, God, I pray You would show them that You do want to use them. In Jesus' name we pray.